Good evening, Town Discovery Bay. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to call to order the Community Service District meeting. If I can get everyone to stand up and follow Director Porter in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Okay, for the members of...
I'm getting on right now. Yeah. One's for the parents of the water polo team.
Excuse me? For the members of the public, if you guys are on your line, if you can mute
I'm so sorry.
If you can mute your phone, that'd be great. This is the time for public comment, so if there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board, one at a time, if you could unmute your phone and introduce yourself, and we're here listening. With that being said, any members of the public wishes to address?
Yeah, I'd like to address the board. My name is Steve Hanson, and I am a member of the Discovery Bay Pickleball Club. We have would like to address the issue we've taken up with the city manager about extending the locked gate hours for those that want to use the tennis courts, the pickleball courts, and or the dog park until with the daylight savings. Now we'd like to suggest we can extend that past 6 o'clock. Many have asked for maybe sunset or that type of thing, but that's certainly a request we'd like to address. And then the second thing that I wanted to address was I know that there's been some issue with the pickleball club attempting to put on a tournament, and I just wanted to point out that the Contra Costa Health Department has posted on their website in their publicly available FAQs that the county health officer has in fact given a blanket approval at tournament play or tennis, pickleball, soccer tournaments, that type of thing that involve multiple, what the state means is multiple teams. I'm not sure that's reflected in the information that everybody's been presented so far, but that information just changed on the county health site last week. So just want to make sure that everyone was aware of that as we consider the ability for the pickleball club to host a tournament in the month of March. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Are there any other public comments?
We're seeing none, Chair.
Okay, with that being said, we'll close public comments. Before we move on, I'll just recommend Steve contacting Monica at the Community Center for the exact current rules of engagement with the county. With that, we'll move forward to the consent calendar. Does anyone want to remove anything or make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that one.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Brown?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries. And then let's move to Area D1, Area Agency Reports. Do we have a member of Jim Frazier's office?
There will be no area reports. We'll go straight to the other.
Okay. Then we'll go straight to the presentations, F1.
Good afternoon or evening. I'm trying to figure out how to operate this thing real quick. Okay. I'm Anthony Harper, project manager for Veolia. I just recently took over the facility, and when I took over, I was not able to present valid data for February 2021. So I'll be presenting February 2021 as a monthly report for water and wastewater, as well as March 2021. We do have new admin and a couple of new candidates on staff, and they took it upon themselves to improve our presentation format. So by all means, please let me know if this is clear, if there's something you would like to see, if there's some information you would rather see on that's not clear, let me know. I'd be glad to tailor it for what you want.
I think if you could bring the area up, because the people on the line might have a harder time.
Is that better?
Is it turned on?
Oh, sure. It's turned on.
Okay. Any better?
Here you go.
February 2021, our safe working days. So far to date, we are 4,203 safe work days, no lost time accidents. It's an incredible number for us, and we can describe with safety as our top priority, not only within our company, but within our community. Pretty much anything we can be involved in. So we're very proud of that number and hope to continue that. This safety and training page shows us what Julia incorporates every month for each staff member, whether it be from a corporate level or on-site level. Monthly, we have specific topics that we set out on an annual basis. And in this case, it was lockout tagout. Also, we have weekly safety topics. In this case, we had first aid and CPR training, safety training calendar, circle of safety and goals, safe walking EH&S review, section one, and then safety committee and community. And then also we have steel-toe boot training and EH&S review again. These are some of the basic stuff that we handle on site, and then you'll see throughout the year we also have larger training classes in which we'll invite towns folks if y'all want to attend. We'll try to get people for that. So on the next page, you'll see our water well status. We separated the Willow Water Treatment Plant from Newport. As of February, well one was inactive due to rehab. Well two is active, and well six is active. For the Newport Water Treatment Plant, well four is inactive, also due to rehab. Well five is active, but is deemed to be operated under emergency due to water quality concerns. And well seven is active. Water production and chemicals specifically for the two plants and total at the bottom. The Willow Treatment Plant produced 21.4 million gallons for the month, and the sodium hydrochloride usage for that site was 773 gallons. Newport Water Treatment Plant was 21 million gallons, and sodium hydrochloride was 987. And the total for the facility for the month, being gallons produced was 42.4, and the total usage of sodium hydrochloride 1,760 gallons. For water compliance, call form samples collected for the month was 16. Call form positive results were 0. Water quality complaints from the public was 0. Hydrants flushed that month were 65, and valve exercising was 175. Moving to wastewater, our lift station status, just like the water schematic here, we have each of our lift stations A, C, D, F, G, H, J, R, S, Newport, Lakeshore, Lakes, Lakes 4, and Bixler, all of which are currently active. And wastewater flow and chemicals. The wastewater plant 1 is not in operation at this time. We are strictly using wastewater plant 2. And that plant showed a total flow of in million gallons of 31.46. Our influent flow average was 1.25, and our discharge flow average in million gallons was 1.12. The amount of chemicals we used for the wastewater plant too was specific to polymer this month, and was 600 gallons. For wastewater compliance, our effluent VOD and no grams per liter. 10, the number being in parentheses, is our limit. And our result for the month is 1.2. Effluent TSS is 0.9. Protocol form 7-day median is 2. Protocol form daily max is 2. Effluent NTU daily average is undetectable. Effluent ammonia is undetectable. Removal of BOD for the month should be above 85%, and we're at 99.7%. Removal of TTS monthly, again at 85 is our requirement, and we're at 99.8%. Conductivity annual average is 2400 limit, and we were at 2260. And on the on the last page, we have maintenance and improvements. We had a zero SSO for the month of February, and customer inquiries were zero. I did move the projects for this to March, so I'll go over that real fast as well. Any questions for February?
Is that a high number, a low number? Because you referenced this also on the wastewater, I believe.
That's right. So keep in mind, production, you talking production or chemicals?
Chemicals.
So chemicals. So the water plant uses sodium hypochlorite independently, separate from the wastewater plant. For the increase, as you can tell from March, between February and March, we do have well 6 being our dominant well due to the other wells being on rehab. That well does typically require more chlorine just to maintain the legal limit in the field. So that is some of the increase there. For water compliance, for the month of March, coliform samples collected were 20. Positive results were 0. Water quality complaints, 3. Those particular complaints were in reference to brown water calls right close to our Willow water plant. We did find an issue with our recycle pump, trying to recover some of the backwash water that we use and put back through the filter to conserve and not waste that water. We got to too low of a level in the tank, and that was adjusted. So personally, I went out with my crew and spoke with the tenants at the residence, and they seemed to be very pleased with our response and the way we handled it. So I think that was a positive turnaround for that.
Does when we flush the hydrants, does that cause the brown water?
It can. In this issue, it wasn't. It was too close to the main plant, and because we're going through well changes and different wells, that tends to be the problem when you're that close to the treatment plant itself. Further towards the ends, yes, you're right. If it depends on if you're flushing certain hydrants or waters changes direction in the system for some reason, then you do have the same problem. Hydrants flushed. We did not do hydrant flushing this month. We try to do that every other month or as needed, especially as we're starting to move into our peak close season, and it seems to be a very dry summer coming. We're trying to be a little bit proactive in making sure they're flushed, but at the same time not waste water we don't need to. And then valve exercising will take place again next month. And what we're doing is a large grid of the town when we do that. So it just makes it easier to track and report those things. Our lift station status, all of our lift stations are still active and no issues pertaining to the lift stations themselves. So wastewater flow chemicals, again, we're still not running through wastewater plant one, but we are using wastewater plant two. Our total flow in the median gallons was 35.78, and our influent flow average is 1.25, and our discharge flow average is 1.15 million gallons. Then our polymer was 650 gallons. Project for rehabbing the Willow filter. We are starting to run up against the clock before we get into heavy peak usage, and we're requesting a contractor to try to push that starting a little into the fall, just so we just avoid any unwanted risk on that. So we have not got final confirmation that they're willing to do that yet, but I should have an answer pretty soon. The potholing for wastewater plant 2 has been completed, and the data collected was submitted to the town, and the water line spotholing project has been completed, and the data report was just sent today to the town. Another thing that took place, the wind decided to topple our radio tower at the wastewater plant 2. We were very fortunate in the direction that it fell did not take out our NCC building that is right next to it. That building was critical to our wastewater facility and of course the new project that's coming. So fortunately enough, it didn't hurt anybody, didn't hit any other assets. It just crippled itself, so to speak. And the only thing on that antenna was a beacon light and a radio signal, or a radio antenna itself. So we do have it safely secured and locked out as best we can. And we have Telstar, our emergency contractor, en route and hopefully next week to upgrade both lift station F, lift station G, and lift station D with cellular communication ability, which will bring it up to par with most of our other lift stations in the facility. So that'll be more reliable, and we don't need to replace that radio tower. An Oxditch 3 rotor. We had a real bad scare earlier in, about mid-March, I guess, where one of the outer rotors on Oxditch 3 decided to shatter the bearing and the seal and decided to ride along the concrete foundation for a little bit. Luckily, we caught it pretty soon. The problem with that would have been, as close as we are to replacing most of that equipment, this big project coming, we already have a DO deficiency, or in peak season, and that's a major problem for a treatment, which is one of the main reasons we're having the project. We were worried that we were going to have to actually totally replace that rotor prematurely, and that was a major expense and a delay. So fortunately enough, we were able to get a crane company out. We were able to lift up the rotor big enough, and we were able to get the old seal and bearing off, and with minimal damage to the shaft itself. We replaced it with parts we had on hand and our own staff, and placed it back down, and it has been fired up and running since. So I would like to say I think it's running better than it did before. So. And you can actually see it on that track. It seemed to be trying to outpace the inside rotor. So anyway, so that was a saving grace for us because that could have been an expense that none of us wanted to deal with at the time. So we were able to fix that. And that concludes March and February. Did I show you a question?
I just had a quick question. I'm sorry, I forgot. Is the Oxditch the giant circular thing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That the water goes through, and
us rednecks call that a racetrack.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a racetrack, exactly.
That's exactly what we. That's actually an industry term. We call it an oxditch or a racetrack.
And there's some rotors that propel the fluid.
And when you go by, you see the rotors spinning. That's what's splashing the water, mm-hmm. and pretty much giving it a direction, and that's creating oxygen, our dissolved oxygen. So the more that thing splashes, the better oxygen we get, and the better the bugs love it, and the better treatment we get. So. Well, that thing goes down, it's not cool. So, any other questions?
Yes, I have a question, but a great report. Thank you, I appreciate this.
Appreciate
was there, was something going on, was happened with the water, like either late last night or early this morning, where people either had low pressure or no water for a period of time?
It was brought to my attention first thing this morning that our on-call staff all barely got an alarm, and one thing that we responded to was and notices that our Newport plant has been the dominant plant right now because we're trying to limit our manganese problems that we're getting from 6 primarily at logo. We're trying to make it as customer friendly as possible and as cost effective as possible by running Newport as the primary system. Last night, or yesterday, that plant reached a production of 3,700 gallons per minute, and our well was only producing about 1,900 gallons a minute for a sustained amount of time. So what happened is we have enough storage there to maintain that for a while, but generally at some point the wells have to have time to catch back up. And that will hit a borderline. We did not drain the tanks, but we did get close to where we were. By the time our guys got the call, come out and slowed down the pumps, there was a low pressure. So I would imagine people that might have been on the farthest ends, closest to that plant, probably saw some drop. But I did not get any, or we did not get any customer complaints in particular, but I do figure.
So it sounds like it was taken care of quickly.
We tried. We tried. So.
I would say we experienced it probably about 5:30, but it went back up fairly quickly.
And then it was kind of peculiar.
A weird time, right?
It happened at night, and we're sitting there going, all right, who's using that much water in the middle of the night, right? So it was a shock to us. But at the same time, I'm glad it happened because that was a good waking for us to try to deter them from taking down the filter at Willow. If we're going to get into peas, we're going to need it. So hope that helps.
Absolutely.
So ultimately you're saying it was a normal situation, it just was extreme?
It's a little too soon for that.
Yeah.
Another month or so, that normally happens. So it was a shock last night for sure. So, but if you have any questions, by all means, let me know. I'm here to help. And even outside of this meeting, y'all are welcome to come by anytime. Okay.
I like your new report.
It's easy
to understand and read.
Let me know that.
Very much.
She will be thrilled. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay, with that then we'll move on to business and action items. Number one.
Good evening, Board. I received a phone call from Leah at Supervisor Burgess's office that said that the county is contemplating a revised fireworks ordinance that would essentially hold the owners or the persons responsible or in control of private property liable for fireworks violations that occur on their property. We have quite a fireworks display going on in Discovery Bay, as we all know, which poses a danger, especially with our fire response times. And the supervisor's office asked that the board approve the president signing a letter on behalf of the board supporting a revised fireworks ordinance. You have the staff report and you have a sample letter for the board president's signature. Are there any questions?
Public comment? Any public comment regarding the letter?
We're seeing no activity on the line, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Well, the guy puts a great fireworks display on, but you're right. It's very dangerous, and the town's really not in a position to deal if something does go wrong. So I think it's timely.
Okay, so
make a motion.
Oh, is there a motion?
Make a motion that we approve the request by Supervisor Burgess's office to send a letter regarding fireworks ordinance.
Okay, I'll second that. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gateau?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, then we'll move forward to Town's mission, vision, goals, value statement.
Yes, at the board's special annual planning meeting on March 4th, 2021, the town's mission, vision, goals, and value statement was reviewed by the board during that meeting. It was suggested that wording focusing on diversity and inclusion should be added to the statement. On April 7th, the Internal Operations Committee reviewed a draft updated statement that adds the wording champion diversity and inclusion under goals. The Internal Operations Committee recommends that the board approve the updated statement as attached, and I've attached it for your review, and the added wording is in red. That concludes my presentation. If you have any questions.
Are there any public comments regarding the changes to our mission statement?
We're seeing no activity on the last chair.
Okay, thank you. We'll close that. Bring it back to the board for either clarification or motion.
We discussed it in internal operations, so mm-hmm. we're comfortable with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion that we add the champion diversity and inclusion statement into our town goals.
Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President
Gateau? Aye. Great. Good to know that we're keeping up on our mission statements. All right, well then we will move forward with the item 3, discussion possible adopting of the sewage treatment plates. Mike.
Thank you very much. For those of you that haven't met me before, I'm Mike Uraka, your projects manager, and I've been with the town for 2 years now. And our denitrification project, one of the processes in there, or one of the things we need to do, is comply with CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act. And to that, we staff prepared the initial study and mitigating declaration for the project, and we did post that in the local newspaper, the notice of intent for that document, and posted it at the county clerk office, posted it at the state clearinghouse. We also, I believe, posted it at the window at the town office and a couple of other places. And so the public comment period for that was March 10th through April 8th. We did receive a couple of comments from a few Indian tribes, and those comments are included in your agenda packet, along with a response to comments. The one significant comment from one of the tribes was that they feel that there may be some potentially eligible cultural sites around our area. So we have retained a cultural resource expert who's going to be doing some research for us and confirming and meeting with the tribe and making sure. And the tribe, in their comment, they wanted us to, I think the way it was set up was that they have a consultant that deals with these issues and was trying to convince us to hire them to watch during the entire construction period. And really all that's needed, and it's actually in one of the mitigation measures in the document, is that we will hire a cultural resource professional to train the contractor's employees of what to look for, how to recognize any artifacts or human remains of any kind. And that's really the extent of our obligation regarding this matter. So, but we'll still be meeting with the tribe and doing our own research to make sure that there isn't something that we missed regarding any ancient burial grounds.
Are we touching any new ground that we haven't previously touched with this project?
Where the new Oxstitch 4, Racetrack 4 is going to go, there's a big mound of dirt there now. So that was piled upon. We will be removing that mound of dirt that was installed, and we will also be excavating below that grade as well.
Would this exist an existing the existing area that they
correct?
So
it's very unlikely. When Fox Ditch 3 was constructed, I spoke with Gregory Harris, the engineer, and he said, "Mike, we didn't come across anything out there." So, and I put that in the document, you know, that we, from our own experience, and we did contact the Indian Heritage Commission in California, and they did a search for us, and they came up negative for anything. So we've done our due diligence on this, and so anyhow, their email to me was, "You should hire us to help you with this project." And so I don't know that we'll be doing that. The other thing that you have before you that I had asked Yesenia to provide all of the directors is this mitigation monitoring plan. So really what we do is it addresses the items we were just talking about, how we will train the contractors, employees of what to look for, let them know that if there's anything that they find, that we will have to stop work and bring in the consultant to verify what it is. If we do find human remains, we'll have to have the coroner come in. And so this is just a tracking sheet that will be used for monitoring our mitigation measures and make sure that we are doing what we say that we will do in the document. So there is also a resolution in your agenda packet that basically spells out all of the parameters and what's happening with this mitigated negative declaration. As I said, I've included the email comments that we received from the two folks. And with that, as I mentioned, we did notice it in the newspaper. This is technically not a public hearing. It's just a board item hearing, things of that nature. Of course, you'll ask the public to comment if they so choose. We will have the only expense on this, other than staff time and some consulting that we've done or had for our greenhouse gas emissions portion of the document. We will have a check to the county clerk, $2,500 for filing fees. So, with that, any questions? I'd be happy to answer.
Let's go ahead and open up to public comments. Are there any members of the public that wishes to address this issue?
We're seeing no activity on the line, Chair.
Thank you. Then we'll close public comments and bring back the board for either further clarification or motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2021-06.
I will second that. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gateau?
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to item K.
General Manager has a report.
Oh, I'm sorry.
we save these for kind of last minute things that come in. And I wanted to bring to the board's attention that Pantages is going for a public hearing with the Board of Supervisors Planning Commission, and that's going to be on Wednesday, April 28th at 6:30 p.m. And what Pantages is originally was going to be deep water lot homes with docks, etc. That's all changed now, and so they're going to the county to basically change the look and get some zoning changes for their subdivisions, which will have 277 single family residential lots and 18 common area parcels. So I just wanted to bring it to the attention of this board that hearing is going forward with the Planning Commission in the county. And I also just learned news, and there's gonna be more to come on this, that the Well 8 monitoring well that's located on Pantages property, that the results have come through and hot off the press. It looks like this is a very viable site for Well 8, which is great news. And we'll be working with Pantages on solidifying that as our next Well 8 site. Any questions about that? Okay. And then next,
I just wanted to bring to the remind the board that on May 20th, which is Thursday, at 3 p.m., there's going to be a budget meeting with the board, a budget workshop with the board, and there's going to be a lot of things being brought forward that are coming up. And as we start to make decisions about a lot of things that are coming up, we just need to have a heads up that we've got our AWIA coming up, which is going to be a risk assessment on our hard security and our cybersecurity. And we need to look at where we're going to go with a new building in the future. And so just a reminder that we need to be strategic and keep these future improvements in mind. And with that, I'll conclude the general manager's report.
Thank you. Director reports. Is this what you do with the committee? You want to give the committee report for the Park and Recs?
Sure. Let me open up. So Parks and Rec had a special committee meeting today. There were several things that were discussed. Kind of pool, which is exciting, is coming. But we were talking about the landscape kind of around the pool and what we're looking to do for that. And then it was also brought to the committee about the design for the corners of Seal Way and Discovery Bay Boulevard, and what was the other corner?
Seal and Sandpoint.
I'm sorry. And we were excited to see what those designs look like and felt that they were really good and are going to bring that back to the board and finance committee.
I believe at your desk is the design that the Park and Rec Committee looked at in terms of
what's on its way
out of the corner.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Hot off the press.
Hot off, literally. Thank you.
You
guys have it.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's just for reference of what the Park and Rec Committee basically approved. So unless we hear anything from any other board member, we're going to move forward with that design.
Just a question, just because I don't know. On the flowers, I mean on the plants, are these annual or are they perennial?
Perennial plants.
They are, okay. Thank you.
Looks nice.
And just if I could add on to Director Porter's, there were several proposals as far as landscaping around the pool. At this point, the Park and Rec Committee is leaning towards an artificial turf solution. We feel from the cost standpoint and from an aesthetic standpoint and as far as usage to the public, that seems to be the highest and best candidate. But there's still some items we're waiting to hear back from staff and as far as what the Finance Committee will authorize as far as expenditure.
Probably I would add on to that maintenance and water usage
yes.
as well for that.
Correct. There are savings by going that route. All right. With that, then, I think that's about it. With that being said, 7:43, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you.